Support for the Source Podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Last week, when President Trump was asked about upholding the U.S. Constitution last week and when about giving immigrants the right to due process, his answer was, "I don't know." That interview was broadcast Sunday on NBC's Meet the Press. Trump added that he is following lawyers' advice as he tries to execute rapid deportations, arguing that giving immigrants due process is time-consuming. For many, this should be setting off alarms. Anyone concerned about maintaining the rule of law and following the U.S. Constitution should be on edge. We're joined by Aaron Reichland Melnick. He is the senior fellow at the American Immigration Council. And Aaron, welcome to The Source.
Thank you for having me.
So when you hear President Trump answering, "I don't know," when asked about giving immigrants the right to due process, which is guaranteed under the Constitution, several places, what's your reaction?
Well, of course, the president is simply wrong. You know, the Constitution guarantees due process for all persons in the United States, not citizens, not green card holders, all persons. And it is due process which ensures that a person facing deportation is in fact not a citizen and is deportable. Without due process, you could just point at somebody and say, "You don't belong here," and throw that person on a plane and get them out of the country. That's maybe what President Trump would like to do, but it's not what the Constitution permits.
Well, isn't that kind of what's happening? There are people who are legal residents in the United States. Some people have birth certificates and social security number cards. They get pulled over by ICE. They present this information, and yet they're still being detained.
Yeah, there are really disturbing reports that U.S. citizens have been swept up in these new enforcement operations. And while that is not new, the Government Accountability Office found a few years back that that several dozen people every year get detained by ICE who are U.S. citizens. We are seeing for the first time an administration that is suggesting that any pushback is inherently illegitimate, that due process doesn't require them, that they aren't required to give due process to people. And that is a real shift.
Our phone number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. What are your concerns about Donald Trump, his deportations, immigration policies? We're now just a little bit past 100 days. We're hitting high gear with the mass deportation plan, but I'm sure it's going to get even into higher gears as we move forward. We do want to hear from our friends and neighbors, 833-877-8255. What are your concerns? So when Trump says due process would take too much time, you know, what do they want? They want millions of trials? They want all these trials? What is your reaction to that?
Well, you know, you have to laugh somewhat because it suggests that he doesn't actually know what the process is. Most people do not get a full trial in court with a jury and prosecutors and all of the things that you might see on Law and Order. That's not how the immigration system works. There is a thing called immigration court, but there you get administrative hearings in front of an administrative judge who's just technically a Department of Justice attorney. And there you actually have seen the immigration courts clear through millions of cases in the last few years. Right now, the immigration courts are on track in fiscal year 2025 to decide more than 450,000 cases. And that's only with 700 or so immigration judges. If Congress were to simply fund the immigration courts so that we had maybe 1,000 judges or 1,200 judges, you actually could clear hundreds and hundreds of thousands of cases a year.
Yeah, but the exact thing opposite is happening. We're seeing immigration judges being fired en masse.
Exactly. This administration is actually reducing the number of immigration judges. At the start of the year, there were 735 immigration judges. As of today, there are slightly under 700. So dozens of judges have been fired or have taken deferred resignation agreements from the government as part of reductions in force, making it even harder for the Trump administration to hit these kind of numbers that they claim are too hard for them to even do.
So we have new intelligence coming from, you know, our national intelligence officials saying, countering what Trump has said, that the Maduro regime in Venezuela is behind the Tren de Agua. They are somehow connected. And Trump has used that for his excuse for the Enemy Aliens Act. And now we're hearing that that is just not true.
Yeah, so President Trump invoked on March 14th the Alien Enemies Act, a wartime law that authorizes people, the United States government, to essentially get around the normal immigration process to deport people. And he said he was going to use that authority against the members of the Venezuelan gang Tren de Aragua because he was claiming that they were directed by the government of Venezuela. And so far, every single court to have looked at this has ruled that this invocation of the law is illegal. But beyond that, the facts on which he based it, which is the claim that the gang was being directed by the Maduro government, isn't true, according to newly released intelligence community analysis that was put out by the Trump administration only a few weeks ago.
Let's go to a caller. Our number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. What are your concerns about Donald Trump's and his, what some are calling, an unlawful use of executive authority for mass deportations? Let's go to Mary. And Mary, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Would citizens be able to bring a class action suit against Trump for hurting other citizens? Would we have standing?
All right, Mary, thank you for that question. And Aaron, a senior fellow, American Immigration Council.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think the answer to that is probably no. But certainly any U.S. citizen that is impacted by an arrest or who is questioned and detained by ICE, even who is falsely accused of being undocumented or not having legal status, does have the ability to bring a lawsuit against the federal government. But I don't see a way that you could have a class action among people who had not been personally harmed by the government.
Yeah, suing the president is very difficult, especially now that he has immunity from the Supreme Court, and that Trump has gone after law firms who have tried to challenge him. So it's a direct attack on the rule of law.
Yeah, exactly. It is, however, as you said, it's difficult to sue the federal government in the first place. It's especially difficult to sue the president or anything along those lines. And so anyone who is personally impacted may have standing. It would just be harder for groups that were not directly impacted and were sort of more impacted by the secondary effects to actually bring a lawsuit.
So when Donald Trump took the oath of office, and he's done it twice, so he might, you know, have some insight here. He says, I will faithfully execute the office of the President of the United States. I will do my best to my ability to preserve and protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. The Constitution's Fifth Amendment and 14th Amendment both contain due process clauses guaranteeing that no one shall be deprived of life, liberty, and property without due process of law. How can he claim that, I mean, you know, objectively, how can we try and figure this out? But he is saying he doesn't know if due process is a thing.
Yeah, of course, it is a thing that is in the Constitution, and he did swear to defend and uphold the Constitution. Now, that said, I do think it's important to acknowledge that the process that is due to non-citizens may be different in immigration, because immigration is a little different. And what could be done to a citizen can't what can't be done to a citizen might be able to be done to a non-citizen, especially around things like deportation. But that doesn't mean there is no process. There might be slightly less process. The process might be slightly different, but people still do get a right to a process. And at its core, what does that mean? Well, the right to due process means the right to notice and an opportunity to be heard, the right to know why the government says they're going to take an action against you, and the right to respond to that. The Trump administration has originally taken the position that people did not have a right to challenge that, that they could, in fact, throw someone on the plane with no warning and deport them under that law. But they lost 9-0 at the Supreme Court, with all judges unanimous that there has to be a right that people must be given a right to challenge that determination in court.
We're getting ready to go to break. When we come back, we'll reassemble and we'll continue our conversation about what is happening with President Trump, his enthusiastic application of his mass deportation. Some people are saying that there are some unlawful elements to this and where this is going and why everyone, regardless of your immigration status, should be concerned about the application of things like the Enemy Aliens Act and his willing to deny due process. This is something that impacts everyone. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back.
Support for TPR comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp carrier dedicated to handling claims proactively and a commitment to helping injured employees and workers' comp policyholders get back to business. TexasMutual.com/claims.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're speaking with Aaron Franklin Melnick. He's a senior fellow with the American Immigration Council. We're talking about some strains on our legal system. Some are saying that Trump is unlawfully using executive orders to orchestrate his mass deportation, which was one of his main campaign promises. But what about the deportation of American citizens, people who have legal status, people who have temporary protected status, people who have done nothing wrong, and yet they are being deported? Is that something that is chilling for you? Are you concerned about what happens next in our rule of law, in our system of government, the U.S. Constitution? You can call in. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Let's go to Olga, and we can have Olga on the air. Go ahead, Olga. Olga, you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes, now I can hear you.
Okay. A couple of years ago, back in July, we were heading to New York, and it was like at 3 o'clock, and all of a sudden there was a long line of immigrants. They were taking them to sanctuary cities, and I took pictures, and I asked them, where are you going? I don't know. Some were going to, on our flight, New York, Detroit, Denver. And so Abbott and DeSantis, they created this immigrant crisis. At that point, they could have deported them back to Mexico. No, instead, they took them to sanctuary cities and burdened the states. Why aren't they, those states that took those immigrants, why aren't they suing DeSantis and Abbott for causing a burden on those states to house the people? My son lives in New York City, and he says immigration, the immigrants, you no longer see them. They're hiding. But at the beginning, when all that was occurring, you know, Abbott made it a point, and DeSantis, to cause the immigration problem to send those to sanctuary cities. Instead, like I said, they should have sent them back
right
to their countries, and that should have solved the problem.
All right, Olga, thank you for your call. Aaron, you know, we had a lot of activity leading up to the presidential election with Greg Abbott sending these migrants across the country. He basically exported the immigration crisis to these other cities across the nation, and they say that really helped win Trump the election.
Yeah, so I think the reality is a little bit more complicated than either side wants to admit. So Olga asked the question, you know, why weren't these people simply deported? Well, the answer was is because many of them had sought asylum, and because the U.S. border officials were fairly overwhelmed and were not able to process everyone under the way they normally would under the law. Similar things happened in 2014 under President Obama and 2019 under President Trump, when there reaches a point when border officials simply cannot process everybody rapidly and has to release people. And then those people need to go somewhere. What happened for the first time in 2021 and 2022 is we had people start arriving who didn't have anywhere to go. In 2019, when the Trump administration released 350,000 people most of them had destinations. They had family members, they had places that they were going to go to. But starting in like 21 or 22, we had people coming to the border who didn't know anybody in this country, who really were arriving with no idea where they were going to go. And this posed brand new challenges. And Governor Abbott decided to capitalize on that by essentially offering people free buses to a select destination set of cities, including New York, Chicago, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., in essence, as a way to weaponize these migrants for political purposes. That said, the migrants themselves really appreciated the buses because they were arriving at the border and did not have anywhere to go. And here was a government agency saying, we'll pay for you to go to New York, pay for you to go to Chicago. And a lot of people took advantage of that. In New York and in these other cities, the challenge was, how do you deal with this reception issue? How do you deal with thousands of people showing up who don't know anybody, who don't have any connections, and who are desperately trying to get on their feet? And so most of those governments helped provide short-term support. Right now, migrants are not as visible in New York City, not just because some of them are, you know, hiding from the Trump administration, but mostly because numbers at the border have been significantly down for nearly a year now. After the Biden administration took action in June of 2024, border numbers plummeted and very few people were actually being released into the United States. Those numbers dropped even further in January. And so as of today, these short-term reception sites, places to help people get on their feet, are not seeing any new people showing up. And so that's partially why the picture, you know, it's not as visible anymore, even though most of these people are now working, they're going through a lengthy court process to seek asylum.
Let's go to Robert on the phones. And Robert, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, everyone. So with the rise of executive orders taking the place of jurisprudence, there's been a lot in the press lately about how journalists feeling under pressure for reporting on things. But what I think got lost in the sauce is, what about protections for whistleblowers? There never really were any effective protections for whistleblowers in the federal workplace, because blowing the whistle is a guarantee of retaliation against you as a federal employee. But now with the journalists afraid to take those on because that was the only recourse you had, what recourse do people have left for being a whistleblower?
All right. Thank you, Robert. Appreciate it. People who see abuse in the detention system, we've seen that before, whistleblowers alerting to people about, you know, some inhumane conditions that are happening with the immigration system. What are some choices there, Aaron?
Yeah, what we are seeing right now is the Trump administration eliminating oversight within the federal government. At the Department of Homeland Security, the Trump administration has shuttered the DHS Office of Civil Rights and Civil Liberties, which was a voice for oversight within the agency. It has shuttered the Office of Immigration Detention Ombudsman, whose job it was to ensure that people held in immigration detention were treated properly. And they have shuttered the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services Ombudsman, whose job it was to ensure people applying for immigration benefits were treated properly. And we're also seeing firing of inspector generals across the government and similar efforts to shield the workings of the government from even internal oversight. And this is something that Congress is going to have to step in to address. We are also seeing a number of lawsuits, but it really just exemplifies why the rule of law requires not just, you know, the government to voluntarily follow the law, but also oversight bodies to ensure that even internally there is someone inside the government requiring them to work and follow the law.
Another caller. Let's go to Juan. And Juan, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. My comment is that the Trump administration is demonizing undocumented immigrants, basically for their benefit to push their policies and whatnot. Yet, I don't hear any demonization of white criminals that are involved in crime and murder, et cetera, and there is plenty of that, but that is not being commented on. But the fact that they focus on undocumented immigrants is just to be able to pursue their policy. And that's my comment. Thank you.
Well, Juan, thank you for that. So Trump is trying to open the door for immigration for white Afrikaners to come to the United States and grease the path for their migration here, but not applying the same standards to people who want to come up from Central and South America. Aaron?
Yeah, I mean, the reality is the undocumented population is large enough, 13 to 15 million people, that in any population of that size, any 13 to 15 million people, if you randomly picked that many people in the United States, you'd come up with some people who had some pretty serious criminal history issues. That's basic human nature. Any large enough group of people will have some people who've done something bad. And if you focus on only that one ethnic group or that only one group, and if you splash those people across the news headlines every single day, you can give an impression that that group is more dangerous than any other group. But statistics show otherwise. When you step away from the individual heinous instances, which of course do occur, you find that undocumented immigrants do commit crime at a lower rate than native-born U.S. citizens, which makes sense. These are people who are, by and large, trying to stay out of trouble and stay under the radar. So they are not generally going out and doing some things that are bad. And so at the heart of it, you just have to remember, despite efforts to paint migrants as a faceless horde, they're people. And like all people, some of them are wonderful people and some of them are not. And that's no different than anyone than the rest of us.
Well, a federal judge has now found that Trump's use of the Alien Enemies Act targeting alleged members of Tren de Aragua as for illegal rapid removal, he says that is illegal, that we're not at war, so we cannot use the Alien Enemies Act. The question is, you know, will Trump pay attention to that, and will the courts continue to try to hold Trump in check? So what's your response?
Well, so far, the Trump administration has generally followed these court orders. There are, of course, very serious allegations of contempt of court around the initial flight to El Salvador on March 15th, and there will be further developments in the court case where the Trump administration is alleged of refusing to follow a court order to turn the planes around. But right now, we are not seeing the Trump administration actively try to defy court orders, finding that the Alien Enemies Act is not being lawfully invoked. And we are seeing more and more judges ruling that. In fact, just a few hours ago, a federal district court judge in New York ruled that the use of the Alien Enemies Act was illegal, that we are not being invaded by Tren de Aragua, and that applies only to military invasions, because this is a law that had only ever been used the War of 1812, World War I, and World War II. And we're not in that situation.
All right, Aaron Reichland Melnick, thank you so much. Senior fellow at the American Immigration Council, giving us the word on what's happening with Trump's executive orders and mass deportation. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for listening.
All right. Thank you very much for having me.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.